Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
So Andy, what do you do with your time? What's your day job?
So my day job, so I work here at St. Bees as the music director part-time, but most of my hours are spent as a professional keyboard player.
Can you detail what's happening, say, for example, next weekend? Where will you be?
Oh, next week, so I'm in Portugal playing with a guy called Callum Scott, who I play for, and I'm doing the V Festival run and a few festivals. So that's quite a busy week.
So you're quite busy.
Yeah, pretty busy.
That's good. What's something that no one here will know about you that is PG enough to say?
Well, I suppose my wife pretty much knows most things about me, but I've actually got quite an addictive personality. And I've actually played this game called Mario Kart since the beginning, since I was a little five. I still play it with my friends now, who are all grown men. So it's a bit sad, really. We've just played it through every generation. It's my sort of little secret hobby that not so secret anymore.
No, but it's not. It's
gone to the point where we're so competitive. We're such typical sort of headstrong lads that we've written out a league. From every year. So every year, we've got a league of all the amounts of Mario Karts I've played. I dread to think how many hours I've spent. The amount of hours I've spent at night time, or, you know, Trev wakes up in the middle of the night and Andy's not there. He's like, where is he? So no.
You're just there in the darkness and there's a glow on your face.
There's quite a few stories like that, but not enough time to talk about that now.
And you're a Spurs fan, but we'll forgive you for that, it's fine. I know it's constantly filled with disappointment, that, so don't worry. We're just going to pray for Andy in light of that and not give him a chance to respond. Well, thank you for Andy. Thank you for all his gifts and everything he contributes to this church as an individual, as a character, as a person, as a member of this body. Would you just bless him in everything he's prepared for us tonight? And thank you for his attitude of service, that he wants to serve in this way and in any way that he can, really. Just bless him as he shares with us now. Amen.
Amen. All right, so firstly, I'd like to apologise. I actually see quite a lot of new faces here today. It's not, as I said, it's a visiting speaker, so I'm kind of filling in today. It's not normal that I would lead worship and preach. So for those of you who are here new and thinking, oh gosh, I was so glad when this chap stopped singing, I'm apologising that I'm going to be talking for the next half an hour or so. So I think what I'm talking about today is I am the gate. So we've been going through a sermon series of the I am sayings of Jesus in John, the seven different ones, I've been given I am the gate. So before I start, I'd like to give a little bit of context. I think previously in other sermons, if you've been here already, or you can listen to them online on our website, you know, we've gone through the whole series, and one of the things I'd like to draw out first is the I am. God reveals his name to Moses and the people of Israel in Exodus 3. It says Yahweh, meaning I am. And, you know, for me, that even just that statement, being all-powerful, all-seeing, he says, you know, his name is I am who I am. Which is why we have so many songs that we sing. Like, well, as the music director here, you know, we choose quite a few songs and we sing about Yahweh, you know, meaning that the great I am when we're singing that. You know, so many songs that we sing about that. And I just think it's worth just taking a step back and going, there's a significance in that name. Just like when Trev, we just had our baby boy, we chose the name Corban, because in the Old Testament, that means dedicated to God. You know, someone was declared Corban, it was dedicated to God. So it has a certain weight to it. And just before I started talking, my mom just came up to me, she's over there, and she was saying, oh, Yates means, you know, the gatekeeper. You know, which is what I'm talking about today. So there's a lot of significance in the name. which is why when I chose Aubrey's name as well, with Trev, you know, it's the leader of the fairies, you know, so it's one of those names that is like quite a cool name. But mainly just because I thought, you know, I think it's leader of the elves, so I was more thinking of like Lord of the Rings and thinking that's a pretty cool name. But so it's quite a powerful thing. And I think there's just that statement, you know, it doesn't have the same ring to it. If I say, you know, I am the best at Mario Kart, you know, which I like to say to my friends all the time, but it doesn't have the same ring when Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you know, I am the gate, because that I am would have been the significant, you know, it's that link to the Old Testament of Exodus 3. So there's a certain weight to it behind it. And so I want to also think about the word the gate, you know, what that could have been linked to. Because obviously I think, you know, the picture that I've got there is sort of the first sort of picture as you do when you Google, and you put in like, you know, sheep gate or something like that, which is what I think it's sort of the picture's referring to. But I was also reminded when researching the seven sayings, you know, there's also the seven miracles in John that correspond to the seven sayings. So there's the, you know, I am the bread of life. You know, then there's the miracle that follows that when Jesus feeds the 5,000. And then there's, you know, the I am the light. And then God heals a blind man, you know, living in darkness, bringing light to him. So there's the miracles that correspond to the I am sayings, which I think is quite important. So I think before I do the main reading that I was given from John 10, I think I'm going to talk about John 5, just to give a little bit of context. So this is the healing at the pool. So John chapter 5. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. So I think for me, just reading about the gate, so now the statement has a whole new meaning to me, because I'm also now thinking about this place where, you know, the gate was actually a place where, you know, for that we just read about, that there was a Jewish festival and people would go there and rush there, you know, for the hope that they, you know, I'm ill, I've got this pain, and I'm going to get healed if I rush to this place. Now, we have places like that in the UK. I did some research, but I wasn't going to go back. But, you know, there's like lots of places where people go and hope, oh, I'm going to go here and rush here, and I'm going to be healed of this. Or, you know, it might not just be. I think also in this story, it's not even just physical pain. It's also emotional pain that people carry, that they're, you know, I'm going to rush to this place, and I'm going to be magically better. You know, I'm just going to touch it, and it's got some sort of aura. You know, we've got that sort of, I think that's quite a common thing, actually, for a lot of people. So, like, for me, when reading that, I was kind of thinking about some of the friends that I know, because I work in the music industry, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, don't have a faith at all. And so when I talk to them about what I do on a Sunday, you know, I was doing a session yesterday with Louise Redknapp, and she, you know, she was talking to me, and she was like, "Oh, what are you doing on Sunday?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm preaching and leading worship." And she was like, "Oh." You know, it's this real weird concept. And she's like, "But you're not a minister, are you?" And I was like, "No." And I think people they're drawn to that sort of side of it, because when I talked to her about it a bit more, and she was a bit like, "Well, you know, it's quite cool. I've always wanted to find," you know, there's that sort of sense of she's longing for something. That was like, there's this pain here that I'm longing to find healing for. And I think for a lot of us and a lot of people that we know, they might not be honest about it, but there's that sort of, they're searching for that. And when Jesus is saying, "I am the gate," he is saying he is the gateway to that. He's going to lead you to that. So that's going to lead us on nicely to our passage that we're going to be focusing on, which is John 10, 1 to 10, which is page 1016 in the Church Bibles, if you're going through that, but it's going to be on the screen anyway. So, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So I am the gate. So anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. And I think, apart from me, we heard about, you know, the miracles that Jesus performed in John 5. And I think what maybe Jesus is referring to is that concept, as I was saying, that sort of, you know, the idols and the things that a lot of people kind of hold on to, that we try and find cures and wholeness by rituals and superstition. And I think that just that very first statement, you know, we try and find other ways in. There's lots of other things we can go to. There's like the pool that we can go and get healed from, or there's lots of other things that we can find fullness in, but it's not quite satisfying. And there's that side of, oh, it's just a ritual thing or superstition. You know, I grew up in a Catholic primary school, and I loved it there, actually. It was really good fun. But sometimes I found it a bit strange. You know, people that know me, you know, I'm prone to losing quite a lot of things, like my keys, my wallet. You know, it's always leaving it behind, forgetting it. And the nuns there would say, well, you have to pray to St. Anthony. He'll help you find your, you know, there's that sense of, oh, you need to do this other path. And I think Jesus is just focusing it back onto him. It's saying, I am the gate. He's not trying, he doesn't want the other way or trying to sneak in another way. Oh, I'm going to get this out of life because I'm going to take a shortcut. I think, you know, he's really making that really quite clear. Now, that's a general sort of understanding. But I think when praying about this particular passage, I think God just showed me just a few things. Just 3 points that I really want to just expand a bit. So if we go to the next slide. The gatekeeper opened the gate for him and the sheep. Listen to his voice. So I think the bit in bold, I just want to say, you know, listening to his voice. I think that's what the Lord wants to say today, is that how do we listen to God? How do we listen to God today? And what is God saying now in your life? And is there the next questions coming up on the, and the next one? And the next one. That's it. So for me, sometimes, that's me. That's why I found that picture. I reflect on that quite well. Because sometimes, you know, that's how I listen to God. You know, I'm roaming around as one of the sheep, and he's looking after me, but I put that bucket around my head, and I just don't want to listen. I don't want to listen. I'm quite comfortable with what I'm doing. You know, I have a great job. I love what I do. I'm doing everything I've wanted to do. I have a great family. It's very easy when you're complacent to do that, because I think God has a lot of things he wants to do more. He wants to do more and more and more. And I think sometimes we get to a point where you go, I'm really comfortable. I don't want to listen anymore. I'm quite comfortable. I've got no problems at the moment. You know, this is all good. And sometimes we do the exact same thing when we do have a lot of problems and when we do have a lot of stuff going on, because we don't want to deal with it, so we just close ourselves out. So I think, again, I'll go back to those questions. You know, how do you listen to God? And what is God saying now? You know, don't walk around with a bucket on your head. You know, listen to what God is saying. You know, how do you spend time listening to God? Because it's really easy to cram your week with lots of things. But do you actually spend time just listening to God? You know, for me, as a worship leader here, and someone that takes that very seriously, you know, you have to create time to listen to God in order to plan a worship set, plan a talk, of course. But through the week, if I've got a busy week, you know, if I don't do that, I'm going to be like that sheep again with a bucket around my head. In order for me to be any use for the kingdom, I need to listen to what God's saying. If you know, there might be a little nudge when I'm on the bus, and there might be someone that the Lord said to me, why don't you just go talk to him and just maybe offer him prayer? Or there might be a guy that I was praying for, and then God's sort of speaking to me and saying, why don't you go pray for him? You know, if I'm walking around with a bucket in my head, I'm not going to listen to that. And I think that's what the Lord just wanted to just make really clear tonight, is that how do you listen to God? And what is God saying now? And what other voices are you listening to? Because that's a big one for me. Because we're surrounded by so many different voices, aren't we? Not just God's voice, but things that we watch on TV, things that we read on the media. You know, we're influenced by our friends. You know, the inner voice in your head that says, I'm not good enough to do this. The amount of times I've performed at like a really huge venue and I've just said the whole time, I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough keyboard player at all. Like, you know, there's guys out there that are 100 times better than me. That sort of voice that I listen to that kind of weighs me down. And I think a lot of us listen to that voice. Because I know that even when you get to a really successful place in what you do, and even if not a successful place, there's always that voice. Doesn't matter where you are along your journey, you could be really successful and not successful at what you do, and the same thing happens each time. It doesn't get any easier. There's always that sort of sense, you know. And sometimes I think, you know, just to feel better, I might just check my Facebook a bit more, you know, how many likes I get. You know, I might self-medicate on box sets, Netflix, and watch loads of things to just help me through things. Or, you know, I'll stay busy, cram my diary. I'll just check my Instagram. That person hasn't followed me. Or, you know, it's that I'm listening to all these voices in my head or these things that are coming up inside me that are like, well, why am I listening to that? Why is that? Why am I carrying that? So the next bit, when he has brought us all on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So I've got Corbin, who's a month old, and I've also got a daughter who is 20 months. I couldn't do a talk without talking about them because they're like one of the best things in my life. So they just come up all the time. And so Aubrey, the leader of the elves, is a fantastic daughter. She knows my voice, obviously. So when I go in at home and she's like, Dada, she can listen to it. She hears it. And when she hears Mummy's voice, she knows my voice. And so often that voice comes up a bit louder if she's trying to put her hand in the toilet, or she's trying to take my biscuit, or she's trying to lick her foot from the floor that's really muddy. She doesn't, and Daddy will say, no, don't do that. And she'll respond, and she'll stop. And she knows my voice. So that bit in the scripture that we read, where it talks about, you know, the sheep knowing that voice, he's calling them out. I think that's important for us, that we know God's voice and we respond to it. So there's a difference between listening and knowing his voice. Because, you know, I've trained Aubrey not to touch my new TV, you know. It's 4K, it's got all the flashiness of it, it's really nice. And so as soon as she goes near it for that paw mark, you know, I'm saying, no, Aubrey, she knows my voice, and she's like, can't do that. So she does. I've trained her really well. And then Trev will invite like her mummy friends, and their kids will come. And I'll be like, no, and they touch. They don't listen. They don't know my voice. I have no control. Literally, it's one of those things I've had to learn. It's just sometimes you just have to let it go. It's the same with my surround sound when they've got those little bits that you pop it. I don't know what they call it. I should know these sort of things, but I don't know what's it called. The little round circle and the speaker. What was it? The tweeters, that's it, it's the tweeters. So that's the thing that I was like also telling you, Aubrey, never press that in because it ruins the speaker. And then, you know, it's just my pet fear when I come home and Trev's had like lots of her mommy friends around with their kids. I'm going to look, I check my speakers, it's like, they haven't pushed it in. You know, it's that thing of knowing the voice. Or that, you know, I have to like wipe down the TV. But that's as bad as it gets, really. It's not that bad. But I think knowing his voice is so important. And then that goes for me, let's go to the next slide. So a few things that I think, how do we get to know his voice? And that's through intimacy. It's the first thing. You know, worship is a key part of my life, and it's how I engage with God. You know, I sing about, I lead others in about this, but we sing love songs to God because intimacy is important. The reason why Aubrey knows my voice is because she's my daughter and I love her and she loves me. So when I say something to her, she responds to that. And that's really important. So in our worship times, building intimacy with God, we get to know that voice. So the next time we're out and about with our friends and we're just like, I'll just have another drink. I'll stay up a bit later. I'll chat to that girl. You know, then there's that voice that then says, I know that's God's voice saying no. And I think learning scripture is a fundamental thing, but it's always good to be reminded of these things. You know, intimacy, learning scripture. You know, we read in Psalm 23, which is, as soon as I read this passage, I just thought of Psalm 23, just because of there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that relate, have imagery about sheep and shepherds. And for me, you know, this psalm is something that I've learned as a something in my life that I think, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. And I think that's something that we need to keep hold of that prepares our heart for the world out there. And the next thing would be to have a teachable heart. You know, learn to respond to God's voice. Because how many times have you been in a situation when you've heard God's voice, but you've been stubborn anyway? And I think that's the biggest killer, actually, is pride and not having a teachable heart. Because you can get so set in your ways that you don't want to change. And the great thing about a child is that they don't have any of that, do they? And that's why it does say in Scripture, you know, it says, come to God like a child sometimes, because all their inhibitions are not there, and they listen. And so for someone like Aubrey, she's really teachable. So I can teach her not to do that. She might do it the first time, but then the next time, you know, in our toilet, there's our basin that's quite low, and she loves getting her little step out to wash her hands so she can get up on the sink. And then the first time, she runs to it and bangs her head. And it's like, ow, you know, and she's... And then the next time she learns to duck her head and have a little cheeky smile and then go and do it. But she's learned from that. And I think sometimes we can get knocked on the head and we don't learn from that. I know for me, I just keep doing the same thing. So it's one of those things that I'll knock my head and I'll do the next thing. I'll do it again. And that's because I've got a hardened heart. And for a lot of us, I think I get very complacent with who I am, with my faith. You know, I'm very comfortable. And that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? We hear about if you're lukewarm, you know, God doesn't want that. He wants you to have fire. And I think these things, intimacy, learning scripture, having a teachable heart, you know, if we learn to respond to God's voice, it's not just listening. Lots of us can listen, as we said, but then it's knowing his voice and responding to that. So my last point is never follow a stranger. You know, it says that the sheep, you know, when they hear a stranger's voice, they run away. Now, I'm going to use this imagery because I think actually for us sometimes we don't run away. And I'm going to use this with, you know, this is where we're in certain situations. And you know, there's that voice again that we've been listening to, and it says, "Oh yeah, you can definitely have another drink. You could definitely put another bet on that. You could just maybe I'll just look at my laptop when no one's looking. You know, no one will know. You know, maybe you could just, you know, I'll take that for myself. No one will know." It's that voice, knowing his voice, and the advice that the scripture's telling us here is that's not God telling you that. You know, learn to listen to what he's saying in that situation. So the good advice he gives us is to run. They run away from that voice. Don't listen to the lies. Prepare your heart. So we're just talking about, you know, learning scripture. And so for me, you know, Psalm 119:9 was a scripture that I heard actually when I was 13 at at M Flame, which is a youth organization that goes on. And actually, in fact, that was when I was, apparently, I think, this was actually when my wife, Trev, was there when she was that age as well. So we met at 17, but she was also going to M Flame when we were like teenagers. And my brother, James, used to be a bit of a nut, and he would he'd dye his hair orange and spike it all up and do this sort of dance group, and at this event. And I thought at the time, well, that's really cool, you know. He's my bro, and he's there with these. And then I remember having this conversation with Trev just a bit later on, as we were married and stuff. And she'd be like, "Oh yeah, I went to M Flame, and we were probably there." And she was like, "There was this crazy guy that was like dancing and had these like group." And I was like, "Yeah, it's my brother." You know, it was. But yeah, it's a great organization, right? and I grew a lot there. And I remember this. I was thinking about this psalm, and it was just one of the things I've always sort of held close to my heart. You know, how can those who are young keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I will rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I am the gate. That's what Jesus is saying. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. We read in John 5 that there was that chap that was, you know, 38 years was disabled, wasn't able to walk, was an invalid. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, I think that's quite an obvious question, in my opinion. If someone's rushing to this place where they want to get healed, and he's been like that for 38 years, he's obviously desperate to get healed. And Jesus asked that question. And I think for us, and what he's trying to say by that, it is an insensitive question, but I think in reality, what he was actually saying was actually that pain that person was carrying had become so much part of him that his identity and his being was defined by it. And I think for some of us, the pain that we carry sometimes is part of us to a point where it's like, you know, it's part of our character. You know, it's like I'm trying to think of an example. There's quite a lot of bad examples in my life, but I'm trying to think of like an easy example for me. But I think, you know, there's certain things like, you know, that addictive personality. You know, that's just something I used to think, oh, that's just what I'm like. But I don't think that's a good thing. You know, if you're, you know, we all know that what addiction can lead to, you know, in various situations. And I think, you know, that's something you can hold on to and just, well, that's just what I'm like. You know, it's a pain that I'm carrying that I don't need to. I don't need to be like that. And this pain had become so much part of this man that I think Jesus asked that question, do you want to be healed? Because it's so much part of his character and his identity that actually, I think at that point, it was just that sort of sense of, you know, do you want to be healed? It's going to change you completely. And I think that's what the Lord is saying to us. You know, I am the gate. I have come that you may have fullness of life. You know, when we hear those voices, you know, the things that we don't want to listen to when we're out and about, you know, just one more drink, it won't hurt. Another bet, all that kind of stuff. What is Jesus saying when that comes up? You know, we want to know his voice in that situation and learn those things that we were talking about, you know, run away, prepare your heart. And that pain, we don't need to carry it. So I just want to just go to the last. It's already up there. So, you know, what pain do you carry? And do you want to be healed? And it's not the blatant question that I'm going to, you know, want you to respond to. It's that sense of, you know, some of us would have been carrying that, those little things, without wanting to maybe let go of certain things.
Let's respond to that now, actually. Do you want to stand if you're able? It just always feels a bit more easy, safe when we're all standing. It's good to respond in that way. I think a good way to do this, seeing as we don't have masses of prayer ministry team, but I like doing it this way anyway. You don't have to name the pain that you're carrying necessarily, but if you are carrying something that you want to be healed of, that you want a freedom from, can you just raise your hand where you are if you're feeling brave enough to do it, feeling up for it? And could people just have a look around where you're standing, have a look at people who are raising their hands, and just start praying for them? It's all right, just don't do anything weird. We're not going to push anyone over or anything strange like that. We just want to facilitate what God's doing. Just have a little look around. There's still people with their hands up. Do get out your seats if you need to. We're church. We're not rooted to them. It's all right. And some of you who don't want to respond by raising your hands, because there will be a few of you, that's just how it works. It's just a good guess. How about you just respond in your own way? Have a chat with God where you are. Maybe you've had this conversation a dozen times already with him. Maybe you've never had this conversation with him before, but just where you are, name your pain. Name it to him and say, yeah, I do. I do want that healing. I do want your intervention. I want your presence in the midst of all of that. It's very, very easy to push God away when we're feeling a bit hurt, a bit tender from something, a bit raw. It's very easy to think we can manage our emotions very capably. Thank you very much. But actually, let's just be surrendered to him. Let's submit to him in that. There's a few other words as well, some that might speak into that, and some others that the prayer ministry team had before the service. There's a sense that there's someone who's letting the worries of life cloud their relationship with Jesus. Also, maybe someone who's affected, who needs physical/emotional healing, and an image of a car accident that speaks into that. There's someone who maybe is mourning the loss of a cousin they were close to. Someone who has an injury to their big toe on their right foot, who's in need of crutches. Quite a sensitive one. Someone who's undergoing treatment for breast cancer. Perhaps that might be one you can pray with people who know you, or if you want to come speak to one of us or myself with a badge, you're welcome to do that. Unless you're feeling particularly bold and brave, in which case you can handle that in other ways as well. I think I'm going to leave it there for now. Just respond in your own time, respond in your own way. I'm not going to force you to do anything out of your comfort zone or anything strange like that. But do let God minister to you. Don't see this as a wasted process or a wasted time. If any of those other words spoke to you, could you also raise a hand if you're up for it? No? That's okay. We're going to sing some songs of worship. As people respond in prayer, don't stop praying now. Don't let that be a... You can carry on praying if you need it. And if you do need prayer for anything else, can I just ask you to sort of come up here to indicate that you might want some prayer? There's a few prayer ministry team around who can help you with that as well. We're going to sing before we close the service.
Yours is my heart, Lord. Is my heart, Lord. Is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak.